embrace us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us today about relationships. Relationship with you and relationships with those about us, especially with our spouse, but also with just the people around us. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you love us so much, Lord. And we honor you. Last night, Madeline called me and told me some scriptures that she was reading and how they really impressed her. And one of them I'm going to preach on today. It was the Holy Spirit that had Madeline call me with this scripture. And it goes right along with what Pablo shared with us. It's pretty amazing what God is doing here. But I'm just going to read this one sentence. And it's from Joshua chapter 3. And this is when Joshua was leading the whole nation of Israel into the promised land. They were going to get their promise from God. Joshua chapter 3. And it says that when he had given them all directions on what they were to do, they had to consecrate themselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua told them, God's going to do something great. Consecrate yourselves to God. Consecrate your heart. Dedicate yourselves to God. They did that. And so it says, so when the people broke camp, Joshua 3, verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. That's what we're going to be focusing on. Now just let that settle in you. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. And what God showed me when I was reading this over the phone with Madeline is that's a picture of the river of God. The river of God, where's the river of God? The throne of heaven we see in Ezekiel. Let it get us there. Ooh, I got the presence of God on me so strong this morning. I had gold dust all over me on the way here in the car. We're having some wonderful manifestations of the glory of God. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel 47, the river from the temple. The man brought me back, starting in verse 1, to the entrance of the temple. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Who's the temple of God? We are the temple of God. And this is what God, Jesus said, rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. And by this he meant the Holy Spirit. Okay? The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And then led me through water that was ankle deep. Slish, slish, swash, swish, swish, swash, swish, huh? Ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. Flood stage. Ha! Huh? A river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? What's God saying to us this morning? Children, kids, do you see this? You getting this? You can have the river ankle deep. You can have it knee deep. You can have it waist deep. Or you can have it at flood stage. What do you need in order for to bring in the harvest? You need flood stage. You need an abundant river of God pouring out of you. Oh, that wherever you go, that river is present. The river of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. In an enormous capacity. We could settle for ankle deep. We're saved. We're fine. But we're not going to bring in the harvest. We need it at flood stage if we want to bring in the harvest. If we want to get souls saved, we want to impact lives, we need to have the river at flood stage. Goes on to say what happened with this river, all the life, every tree, there were trees on either side of the river, swarms of living creatures lived with wherever the river flowed. It just brings life every place. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river, okay? Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Healing and miracles, fruitfulness, productivity. Woo! With this river, with this awesome, awesome river of God. And now I'm going to turn to, we've got a few scriptures this morning. God's going to really bring some revelation to us. From Malachi, chapter 2. And this is where this is all going to tie in together with what Pablo came and brought to us. And this is all about the priests. God's been talking to us about shepherds, what kind of shepherds he's looking for. He's been talking to us about the shepherds who don't shepherd the flock the way they're supposed to, who treat the sheep harshly and brutally. That God's talked to us about all these things in the last few weeks. But now he's talking admonition for the priests. And who's that for? Just for religious priests? Or is this for us too? We are priests according to the order of Melchizedek. Every one of us is a priest. So when we see this about the priests in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that's us. Okay? Just like we are the temple of God. And that river flows out of our bellies. Okay? We are priests too. And he said to this, and now this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me. The priests in that day were not honoring God. They were giving out lip service. And they were treating people with partiality. If they were good givers in the temple or people of prestige, they ignored their sin and let them do whatever, and they didn't really give them the word of God. He said, because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. And I'm going to go down to verse 5. And he's talking about Levi. My covenant was with him, with Levi, a covenant of life and peace. Now, this is the qualities that Levi, who was the chief priest, he was the head one, and from his lineage, all the priests came. Okay, from Israel. Everyone that was to serve in the temple had to only come from the tribe of Levi because Levi had some powerful qualities. He said, I gave to him, wait a minute, my covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This call for reverence, and he revered my name and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. Okay, that's the quality of a godly priest, Levi. God's saying, I blessed Levi. Not only did I bless him, but I blessed his descendants after him because he had these qualities. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. That's us, guys. That's us. We are the messenger of the Lord. And look what God did with you this morning, Pablo. You had no clue. You were coming here to just check out this place, see what it was. And God says, no, I got a plan for you, Pablo. You need to bring my word here. Okay? If you spend time with him, if you get to know him, then you're going to be able to preserve knowledge, and from your mouth, others are going to come and seek instruction because you are a messenger of the Lord Almighty. All right? We're all messengers of God, but we got to know him, spend time with him, hear what he has to say. Oh, we can't give anybody any message because we haven't heard the message. All right? And that's what they were doing wrong. They weren't getting a pot with God, and they weren't hearing what he had to say. And this is what he said to them. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. And we see that now through with religious leaders condoning homosexuality, condoning sin, not speaking out against it. We're seeing that. So that's number one. He's saying, these, I have a couple of things against you, O priests. And this is number one, and this is the one I'm going to focus on. And then he goes over here into verse 13. Another thing you do. You flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offsprings. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. Sometimes people have to get divorced because they're in a violent situation, physically or emotionally. One hurts just as bad as the other. God says, I hate that. I hate that my people are mistreating one another. Those that are bonded together as one, husband and wife. You guard your mind. You guard your mouth. You guard your spot. The way you would treat yourself, because you are one, that's how you're to treat your spouse. The way you would treat your own body, God's saying, would you hit your own body? Would you be nasty to your own body? That's how you're to treat your spouse. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. What I know that what God is saying to us is, we need the river in this hour. We need the glory of God to manifest in our lives. And we could settle for ankle deep. We can go around and be barking at one another and criticizing one another looking for every flaw and every fault in our spouse or the people we live with. We could do that and we'll walk around maybe not even ankle deep, because the Spirit of God's going to leave. We're not going to have rivers of God flowing out of us. If we're nagging and we're critical and we're judgmental, and this is funny, I'm speaking on marriage. This weekend's our 49th wedding anniversary, and we've had an awesome 49 years. Yeah. Cool, huh? Well, God's saying, guys, priests, Levites, get it right. Get it right. Stop treating your spouse or your mate like somebody you have the right to mistreat. Stop treating them like you would treat me. Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. How would you talk to me? How would you confront me? Huh? You are doing that. However you're treating your mate, you're doing it to me. Are you getting up in the morning and you're in a bad mood, and so your mate has to be the brunt of it? We do that. We do that to one another. We can become too comfortable and too casual. If people said to me, what would you say is the secret to the success of your marriage? I would say respect. I would say respect. Yes, we need Jesus to be the center of our marriage, but many times we have Jesus in our lives, but we treat our mate with disrespect. We talk to them like we wouldn't talk to anybody else. We treat them with disrespect. Disrespect destroys more marriages than anything I've ever seen. And I've ministered for years and years and years to many married couples. Respect. You treat your mate with respect. The way you want to be treated and the way you want to be talked to, you show respect for one another. If you want to correct one another, oh, that's okay. Fight fear. Fight fear. Fight with respect. Be respectful. Be respectful. Don't be nasty. Don't be lashing out. Don't hold grudges. Don't bring up everything that happened a century ago and throw it in the heap of what's going on because he didn't pick up his socks or she didn't cook the meal right or give you what you wanted. Huh? We need to love one another. God is saying, this is the hour for harvest. I'm telling you, this is a word from God. This is the hour of the bringing in the great harvest, and I need harvesters. But my harvesters have got a very depleted supply of my Holy Spirit, of my anointing pouring out of them. They don't have a torrent of river. They don't have a flood stage river coming out of them, because they're allowing the enemy to come in, bring offenses, bring nasty attitudes and grumpiness and critical spirit and judgmental spirit. We can be looking at our spouse through a magnifying glass and find every flaw and point it out. And he maybe not even say anything, just let it sit inside of us and seethe. This is what God is saying. This is the state of my priests now. This is the state. This is why we're not seeing this big harvest come in. Because of these areas that the Lord's pointing out. Either we're harsh, we're critical, we're brutal, we're not honoring the name of God and the word of God and really teaching and preaching and proclaiming the true word because we're his messengers and we're not spending time with them, or we're mistreating our spouses. And that is causing so much of the glory to leave our lives. And we're going around depleted. And God's saying, this is the hour when I want to bring the lost into my kingdom. But my kingdom doesn't look much different than what the world looks like. There's not enough love in my kingdom. There's not enough of my glory and my power in my kingdom. Because we become self-absorbed and selfish, critical, judgmental, prideful. If we're treating our spouse the way we shouldn't be, you got to deal with pride. The Holy Spirit's showing me. I think I'm better than this person, and that's why I'm giving them a silent treatment, slamming the door in their face, making life difficult for them, not honoring them, not praising them, not encouraging them, not lifting them up. God's given us our spouse so we can lift one another up when we're down, not step on them, make sure they stay down. And that's what's going on in a lot of marriages. God's sending people like you forth through the land because this needs to be fixed. Do you see what? This is the big picture of this. This needs to be fixed. We need to fix our relationships with one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no separation in that. You can't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and treat other people nasty. We've got to love. How do we do this? How do we do this when we feel irritated and aggravated? How do we do it? Jesus told us how to do it. Pray for your enemies. Sometimes our spouse is our enemy, making life miserable for us. Pray for our spouse when you're feeling irritated. And what does that do? Instantly love starts pouring inside of you for them, and you just get over it. The more you pray for people, that's why Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies. Yes, he wants the enemies to get prayer, but it's for us to get set free from anger and hostility and criticism and all that stuff that gets on us. So the minute you feel irritated, pray. Forgive them right away. Think of the good things. Think on those things that are good and pure and lovely. If we will do that, then we will have rivers of living water at flood stage. We need flood stage. How many of you want flood stage? I want to be used by God to bring in the harvest. You gave us an example how God used you with a river of flood stage to go into Cuba and impact that nation, impact those people. This is what God is saying. I need you guys. Let's get it right. The devil's coming in like a little fox. Huh? Just like a little fox, a little sly fox. And he's just depleting you week after week after week. You get filled up and he depletes you. Filled up, depletes you. With little aggravations, little irritations, little annoyances, he comes in to rob and steal from you. Just because it seems like a subtle little attack. Don't think it isn't big in the eyes of the enemy and in the eyes of God. This is what he's using to take out the army of God. What does God use to equip his army? Love. Love. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Speak with love. Speak with tenderness. Supposing your spouse doesn't speak so loving to you and is nasty to you, forgive, bless them, and pray for them. Pray for them. That where they're weak, God will come alongside them and make them strong. Pray for them. That they'll be able to communicate those five steps that you gave out. That they'll be able to communicate effectively and lovingly with you. Pray for them. Pray for your spouse. Come alongside them. And let them pray for you. We pray for one another. Let's all stand. We're going to worship. I know you have to leave, Pablo. I'm going to pray for you. Come up. I'm going to pray for you before you have to go. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you sent this man here. Let's all extend your hands out to Pablo. We thank you, God, that you sent this man here to us to confirm the word that you need us, Lord. You need us mightily. I thank you how you use this man, Lord God, in Cuba. Come forth from the throne of God, from the heart of God, to come into you. You have such a hunger and a desire to be used by God. It just completely consumes your whole life. And God said, I put that hunger there, Pablo. And it has been a frustration to you because the time wasn't quite right for God to release you. He says, the hour and the day is at hand for me to release you. And today was a sign. What he did with you here this morning was a sign from heaven above to you that the hour is here, the day is at hand for God to release you, to open doors and promote you and to use you mightily and to allow the word of God to pour effortlessly forth from your mouth, anointed and powerful. Lord God, I pray for an anointing to bring in a great harvest. Great harvest, Lord God. Continue to lead him step by step, Lord Jesus. Strengthen him and bless him, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.